Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read from verses 1 to 10. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And the word of God says, "He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest of a man who is a sinner.' Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" Amen. Let's pray this morning. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the truth of your word, Father. And we pray that as we study your word and as we allow your word to work in us, God, that it would really have a profound effect on us today. That that your truth would not just bounce off our hearts, but God, that it would enter deeply, Father. So, God, I pray that we would have open hearts today to hear what you are speaking to us, God. And so all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we see the story of Zacchaeus, and this is a story probably many of you are familiar with. We see that Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, he stops by the city of Jericho. And as he is passing through, this man named Zacchaeus, he hears about Jesus entering the city. And so he's curious, who is this Jesus that I've been hearing about? You know, and by this time, Jesus has quite a reputation. Crowds follow him wherever he goes. There are miracles that he has performed. And people, wherever he goes, people flock towards him. And we see this man, Zacchaeus, he tries to see Jesus. He tries to see this Jesus that he's heard about. But he's unable to. And so he has to climb up this tree. But when Jesus climbs up this tree, and as Jesus passes by this tree that he climbs up, Jesus calls him down and says, "Zacchaeus, I will stay at your house." And we see this radical conversion that happens in Zacchaeus' life. And just look into the character of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is an interesting character. You know, it says he was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Right. So he was a chief tax collector. As you know, during this time, Roman forces actually had invaded Israel. You know, we see the land that in many ways, the governance we see, when we talk about a tax collector, actually the taxes that are being collected here doesn't go to the people, but it actually goes to the Roman government. And so we see here that a tax collector was someone that was set up by this invading force, the Roman government, to collect taxes from the subjugated people. But not only that, but we see here Zacchaeus, he was a rich man. And oftentimes, you know, we can see that tax collectors had a reputation, or they were called sinners. And oftentimes the reason for that was because they were corrupt. And so they would cheat people out of their money. And these are not rich people that they're cheating, but already people who are poor. People who don't have enough money, they would cheat and take even more money. And so we see that Zacchaeus, he was not only just a normal tax collector, but he was the chief tax collector. He was the head honcho. You know, he's the main guy. And he was rich, which, I mean, part of it is probably the money that he received, but a large part of it was most likely money that he got corruptly, that he took from the people. And yet, as Zacchaeus comes, we see that, you know, when I think about Zacchaeus, I think about what kind of man he must have been, what kind of person he must have been. you know, being a chief tax collector and being rich, there probably is a lot of pride that Zacchaeus had in himself, in his accomplishments, in terms of his personal, you know, he is at the chief position of among his peers. And not only that, but he is wealthy, which is actually quite an uncommon thing at this time. And yet, even as he has all these characteristics, all these accolades that would seemingly make him a big man around town, I guess that's the best way of putting it, right? He would be a big man around town having money, right? Jesus often talks about the rich and he says, you know, don't give the rich the best seat. But that's because the rich were held in high esteem. But we see Zacchaeus, though he was known by everybody, though most people knew who he was, and yet he received no honor among the people that he was with. You know, if he is a man who is the chief tax collector, he is the highest position, and not only that, but he also has many riches, you would assume that many people would want to curry his favor, and yet when he goes to try to see Jesus through this crowd, nobody makes way for him. Right? It said he was a small man in stature. And so, I try to imagine for myself, you know, this man who considers himself so prideful, he has all these gifts, he thinks he is so rich, and he walks around town. He is actually, in fact, people are probably quite afraid of him because he represents the Roman government, and he takes from people. So people are powerless before him, and yet he is powerless before people, we see here. You know, I imagine him jumping up and trying to see past the crowd, and he can't see Jesus at all. But being a smart man that he is, and we can see that he's at the very least, he's industrious and can think of ways. He runs ahead and he kind of sees where the crowd is going and decides, well, Jesus is going in this direction, so I'm going to go ahead. You know, for a normal person, you know, if you see a crowd and you see too many people, here in Hong Kong, you know, if you see too many people lining up for a restaurant, my first reaction is, I'll just go eat somewhere else, right? But for Zacchaeus, he thinks of a genius way. I don't know what the genius way would be, to act like you're a waiter and to go in and try to sneak your way into the restaurant and sit down somewhere. But that's exactly what Zacchaeus does. He finds a way that he thinks, well, I can't see past this crowd, so I'm going to do something else. And as Jesus passes by, this amazing thing happens where Jesus looks up into the tree and says, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must stay at your house. Today I must stay at your house. You know, I recall all those times, you know, we oftentimes at church we have guest speakers. We have speakers very strong in the prophetic, you know, that give words to people. I feel someone over here has a knee problem, or someone over here is going through some kind of relational issues, right? And oftentimes, you know, we come to these situations, and especially if we're in the front row, we're always thinking, oh Lord, I hope that he calls me out. I hope that they have a word for me today too. Right, and there's a hope that that person that's up there and he's giving this word in God, you know, he'll speak to me as well. And that's exactly what happens for Zacchaeus, where, you know, he just wanted to see Jesus. There was nothing about meeting Jesus. There's nothing about jumping out and saying, hi, Jesus, meet me. But he just wanted to see Jesus up in this tree. And yet Jesus, as he passes by, calls out to him. And as he calls out to him, something amazing happens. I don't know what happens between verses 5 and 8. All it says, Zacchaeus, he calls him down, and Zacchaeus comes down and received him gladly. And then the people start to complain, and then Zacchaeus, he has this incredible change, this transformation. He says, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give four times as much. Right? Half of everything he has, he said, I'll give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone, which as a tax collector, he most likely did, he says, I will give back four times as much. Basically, I don't know the math of this, but he's saying a large percentage of his wealth, I'm just going to give away. Right? And you know, there's oftentimes we see Jesus, there are so many miracles that he performs. People's lives are changed radically. You know, in ways, the lame walk, the blind see, and all these amazing ways. But in many ways, I feel that this conversion, this transformation that happens in Zacchaeus is more miraculous than many of the miracles that we often hear about. You know, oftentimes you can talk about the physical, but I think a miracle is also measured in how the transformation that takes place in the person that it's being worked upon. And we see here an incredible miracle has happened inside of Zacchaeus' heart. Right? You know, we think about Zacchaeus and the sort of environment he must have lived in. You know, when I went to Korea, I had not lived in Korea before since I was young. And when I had gone back after college, I remember I was in the subway once. I was in the subway in Korea, and I was there with a friend, and we were talking together in the subway, and we were speaking in English. We were saying, you know, we were just talking and joking around as buddies. And this old lady next to me, she hit me in the arm, and she said, "Why are you speaking English? Aren't you Korean? Stop doing that. Speak Korean. If you're Korean, you should both speak English." And I was shocked. I said, because I had never been yelled at by somebody I've never met before. I've never been yelled at by a complete stranger. And about something especially so personal as my language, right? What are you doing? Why are you speaking English? And you know, in Korea, that's the sort of culture, right? It's this, it's even though Korea and Seoul is quite a big society, in many ways, it's structured in a very community-based way. And so, you know, in Korea, we'll see situations where, you know, if you're sitting on a bus and it's crowded, then people offer to hold your bag for you. But the opposite side of that is we see that if you do something wrong, like I've seen people who have been yelled at on the subway by older people because they were using profanity on their phones, or they were dressed inappropriately, or like me, they were speaking English, right? And we see that this is kind of the way the culture is made, right? But I wonder if not in many ways, I imagine for this time, for Zacchaeus as well. You know, Zacchaeus being an Israelite, I wonder what it must have been like for him as well too. You know, older people, why are you taking from us? Why are you taking from your own people? Why are you serving this invading force? You know, Seoul is such a big city. Jericho, how much smaller is it? Even today, Jericho only has 26,000 people. Even back then, even though we don't have exact population numbers, much smaller than that. It was a smaller community. And we see that everybody knows Zacchaeus. So there's knowledge about people. And yet, you know, we see here that he must have receive the hatred of people that knew him, that said, "Aren't you one of us?" And they said this in a very personal way, right? "Aren't you one of us?" Right? Imagine if one of our SPers here today, for example, Jeff, our brother Jeff, imagine he was a tax collector and he just started walking around and taking money from each of you. Even though you said, "I don't have money," he just takes it from your wallet. You have nothing to give. We would say, "What are you doing, man? Aren't you an SPer? Why are you taking from your own people?" And I imagine that's sort of the hatred, sort of the anger that Zacchaeus must have felt, the personalized way, right? Not just in a general mob, "I don't like that guy" way, but in a way that's really community-based. I think that's something that we sort of lose in our modern context. But I imagine in this place that Zacchaeus, he was told off, or at least at a certain point in his life, people were trying to convince him, "Hey, remember who you are. Aren't you one of us?" And yet Zacchaeus, we see none of that convinces him, because he still, when we see him here, he's still a chief tax collector. And it says he was rich. He was still a chief tax collector. Nothing that anyone had said up until this point in his life had convinced him otherwise. And yet this one encounter with Jesus changes everything. It changes everything in his life. You know, when I first got married to my wife, I remember I wanted to be the good husband. I wanted to be the romantic husband. And so every morning I would make breakfast for her. And you know, I'm not very good at cooking, but I made up for it with enthusiasm. So I would make a lot of food and I'd be like, "Here you go, honey." And I would give her breakfast in bed. And I remember I gave her breakfast in bed for about a week, and every time she wouldn't finish, I would say, "Isn't it not good?" And she'd be like, no, it's good. And so she would finish all the food. At the end of the week, she sat me down and she said, "You know, husband, thank you for cooking breakfast for me every morning." But it ended up that actually Chloe, my wife, doesn't like eating breakfast. She hates breakfast. She never eats. In fact, it's like a mortar. It takes a while for her to get warmed up to eating food. And so even lunch, she won't eat that much. By dinner, she's fine. But breakfast, nothing. Lunch, a little bit. And dinner, a lot. But here, I was forcing her. I was basically force-feeding her breakfast every morning. And because, you know, because we're just married, she wants to be nice to me. And so she's eating all this breakfast. But every day after I leave for work, or after or during lunch, she just has no appetite for the rest of the day. And she'd just be like, please, I love you and thank you for this breakfast, but I don't eat breakfast, right? And as I gave her breakfast, you know, I was thinking about this. You know, how often do we do the same thing where, you know, we're doing this thing that's good, right? I mean, it's good. It's good that I made her breakfast. It's a good thing to make somebody food. And yet, it may not be exactly what that person is looking for. Right? That's not exactly what she wanted. That's not what she desired. If I had made her an amazing dinner, she would have definitely appreciated it. But this breakfast, it was a pain for her. It was forcing herself to eat this breakfast. And you know, this and the reason we are looking at this passage, and the reason I believe that God wanted us, that I believe that God spoke to me about this passage was, you know, this past Sunday we had this amazing message from Jamie Donaldson, you know, about the larger life, about what is our role, you know, in terms of the people of God and what we can do beyond just what we are doing now, especially, right? There was the challenge of to step outside of our comfort zone and to do something more. But when we're faced with this challenge, we ask ourselves, what really can we do? What can I do? I don't know what to do, right? I've never healed anybody. So if I see somebody on the street that's in pain, I've never healed them before. I don't know about you guys, but it's not normal for most people to give a prophetic word randomly on the street or to a coworker. What can I do? What can I do to live this larger life that we're talking about? And I'm not here to give the answer to that question specifically, but I think that this passage, you know, it holds a bit of the key of what God is asking us to do, or what God is showing us can be done in Him, I guess is a better way of putting that. You know, we said here that I don't know what happened between the verses of 5 and 8, where Zacchaeus comes down in the tree and he has this radical transformation. All I know is, and all we can see from this fact is that Jesus meets with him. He meets with Jesus. And then Jesus says this thing at the end. He says this thing. He says, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. And you know, I think Jesus, when he says this, he is hitting on an important point. You know, if we look in Mark chapter 2, there's a story that many of you may know about, of the paralytic who was lowered from the roof by his four friends. You know, and we see this story. It's actually quite similar to this story where Jesus was in a house and there were so many people that this paralytic couldn't get into this house. And so these friends had to lower him down from the ceiling, from a higher place, so that he would be able to meet with Jesus. And as he lowers him down to Jesus, instead of saying, you are healed, or stand up and rise, the first thing actually Jesus says to this paralytic is, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And I think Jesus, we know Jesus to be a wise man. And so, you know, I think when we see Jesus saying something like this, instead of saying the obvious thing that we're thinking about, when he says something like, your sins are forgiven, the reason, I think, is because Jesus, he knows the real needs of the people that he sees. He sees the real needs that are going on. You know, for Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector and he was rich. He had all the riches, he had all the wealth that he probably ever needed. He had more than he needed. And yet, there was something in him that hungered for something more. You know, there's a reason why he heard about this Jesus, he heard about these miracles, he heard about possibly this coming of the Messiah, and he wanted to see this man, this great prophet at the time, or this great prophet as many thought him to be, and he wanted to see this man. And there was a hunger in him. He would do anything at any cost, he wouldn't give up in order to see this person. And as Jesus meets him, Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. And I wonder if this is not what was really the desire of Zacchaeus' heart. This was really the need that was in Zacchaeus' heart to really receive that acceptance as a son of Abraham. You know, we were talking earlier about the condemnation he must have faced from his own people. And we see how much hatred he has. As soon as Jesus calls to him, it says in verse 7, when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. So the crowd, as soon as they see it, they all begin to grumble and saying, why him? You know, a universally hated man, why him? He's not one of us. Why him? He's a sinner. And as he comes, and as Zacchaeus comes and encounters Jesus, Jesus reconfirms him. He confirms him then. He says, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. He confirms him and says, no, he is one of you. He is a son of Abraham. And he puts him back into the context of one of the members of the family. Right? You know, for us today, I think the question, you know, as I look at Zacchaeus, you know, I see Zacchaeus is all around us. You know, I see Zacchaeus is all around us, especially here in Hong Kong. I see people who are well-to-do in their careers, that are successful. In fact, they're wealthy. They've done so well for themselves that money is not an issue for anything that they do. And yet we see, I'm sure you've seen again and again in your coworkers, in your bosses, in people around you, there's a hunger for something more. There's a reason why people go to Lan Kwai Fung every night having drinks and looking for something more. There's a reason why, you know, I have friends even, you know, high school friends, good friends of mine, who are never satisfied. Their careers are taking off. They're managers, they're vice presidents, and people are under them. And yet every night every weekend they're going out to clubs looking for something. Every night they're looking for somebody to drink with. Every night they're looking for something that's not being satisfied at work. Their wealth, their money, their accomplishments, none of that is making them happy. You know, and I think we see Zacchaeus is all around us. And in their hunger, they're looking for something more. Despite what they may look like, despite what they may even say themselves, each and every one of us, you know, if we believe that we are the creation of God, there is a hole in us that desires to be filled by God. And we see here for Zacchaeus, there was that hole. You know, going back to what I was saying about wanting that word, when a preacher comes and wanting that word for me, special for yourself personally. You know, I can, you know, in my life, I've only experienced one time in my life personally where I've experienced instantaneous healing. You know, where somebody prayed for me and whatever sickness that I was experiencing at that time went away miraculously. And I remember during this time, you know, when that happened to me, you know, my overriding thought at that time actually was not, I'm healed. In terms of, oh my gosh, I no longer have to suffer with this sickness anymore, with this cold anymore. My overwhelming feeling that I had at that moment was, oh my gosh, God is real. Right? God is really there and he really cares for me and he's really able to do something in me miraculous. Right? And in fact, even today, if you ask me, well, I can't even remember exactly what was wrong with me at the time when I was sick. But what I remember now is the impression it had of God's presence in my life, of God's realness in me. And, you know, for us today, you know, I think that's, in many ways, you know, this is the reason why our church is a church where people can encounter God. That's why we make that as the desire of our church, where people can encounter God. Because in the heart of people, is really a desire to encounter God, to know that God is real. Not necessarily the miracle that they want to see performed. Obviously, people who are sick want to see healing in their life. But more than that, I think there's a power in not only just the healing itself, but I've seen when healing may not happen physically, and yet people are touched by the Spirit of God in that moment, and that does a work of healing that is far greater than a physical healing can ever do. Right? Where they realize God is real and He's in my life. And for us today, I think the challenge and I think the question is, do we see Zacchaeuses in our life? People who seem all right on the outside, who seem in fact successful on the outside, and yet they're hungry for more. And you know, for Jesus, oftentimes He would send His disciples into a place before He was to enter that place. And for us, I think today, for us in our workplaces, God has placed us in where we are at to be His representatives, to be His ambassadors. He has placed you in these places, and no longer, you know, and God in His kindness, no longer does the sinner wait for Jesus to come to him, but He has sent us to go out to the sinner, to go out to the Zacchaeuses, to go out to people who, you know, I say the word sinner, in that I mean, you know, people who are hungry. People who may not even know that they need Jesus, but that is really what is the desire of their heart. You know, and I think the desire even today is for salvation to come to our houses, for us to be sons of Abraham. And so as I invite actually Eunice to come and lead us in a time of worship, maybe we can meditate on this today. Maybe we can ask ourselves today, you know, as we think about this theme of living the larger life, maybe there's a challenge for us today, you know, as the people of God. You know, it's my conviction that the gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful. It's the most powerful thing that there is. It is the greatest act in history, and it requires, I believe, no convincing to show that it is powerful. But what I do require, I think it requires, is an accurate representation of what that is, of who Christ is, of what salvation is. I think there's power in salvation, there's power in the cross. And we as the people of God, you know, we are Christ's representatives today. We are His people that have been sent out into these places. And you know, like I said, I don't know what happened between these moments, between when Zacchaeus comes down from a tree and when he makes this incredible transformation and this declaration. But I think of all these things, I think the most important thing that happens is that he has an encounter with Jesus. He has an encounter with Jesus that changes his life. You know, among the crowd, Jesus looks up to him and says, "Zacchaeus, come down from the tree." And Zacchaeus, in that moment, he knows this Jesus, he knows who I am by name. He knows me personally. And I think for us, you know, when we go out into our workplaces and we go to our people, when we go to those people around us who don't know Christ, you know, we have a twofold job, not only to be Christ and to be Christ's representative, but also to be the one to make that introduction, to allow these people to meet with Jesus. And so today, as we come into a time of worship and meditation, maybe we can begin to ask God, how can I live this larger life, God? How can I go into my workplace today? How can I go into the people around me today and help to be that encounter? Help to be that encounter with you.
And God of grace and power, you have my heart. You have my heart. I am yours forever. You are my strength. And God of grace and power. And
can we spend some time today just praying for somebody in our workplace, in our life, someone that you can think of? Even now I feel the Spirit is reminding us of somebody in our life who needs Jesus, somebody who needs that word. And I believe today that like Zacchaeus, that when a person is known and when their real desire, that desire in their heart is met, that they will undergo a radical transformation that we see that Zacchaeus had. When people meet with Jesus, that they will undergo a radical transformation. And this has nothing to do with yours or my ability, but it has to do all with who Christ is. and his unfailing love. And so today, why don't we just spend just a minute or two just praying for somebody in our life, praying that they would encounter Jesus today, praying that God would use us today to even be that encounter. Continue to pray for our community. Let's pray for those in our community who are suffering from cancer. And let's just really continue to pray for God's healing hand upon each and every one of these brothers and sisters. Continue to pray for those who are suffering from illnesses, but also really need that word of salvation in their lives. Let's also pray for those in our community who are suffering from non-cancer related illnesses. Let's also pray for those who are looking for work, and let's just really pray for God to provide jobs for our brothers and sisters. Let's also continue to pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the Occupy movement. Let's continue to pray for the three different locations right now, and let's pray against violence. Let's pray for just open communication and really for a resolution to all that is happening. Let's continue to pray for our city right now. Let's continue to pray for our mission focus today for China. Let's pray for just the different ministries, the different missionaries, and the different churches right now in the mainland. And let's just continue to lift up the nation to God and pray for just His Spirit to cover over this land. Pray for the staff. Please pray that God will continue to lead us, continue to speak through us as we handle the matters of this church and the logistics. I continue to pray especially for Pastor Sam, who's away in America right now and coming at the end of the week. Let's just continue to pray protection over him and his family, and also for Pastor Ricky and his family as well. Stephanie just gave birth this past week, so let's just really pray for quick healing, and as well as just to be able to handle the stress of a newborn child. Let's lift up a prayer for our worship sound and media team. Let's continue to pray for a heart of worship, and not only just technical excellence, but also really that desire that seeks after God and really focuses on seeking after worshiping God. Let's also pray for Arts Anonymous, and pray for God to continue to use this ministry in creative outlets and to give them new ideas and ways to really worship God through their skills and the gifts that they have been given. Let's pray for the house churches that are meeting tonight. And let's just continue to pray for the leaders as well as the communities, for fellowship to really happen, for people to really encounter God through these house churches. So God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word, God. And we thank you that Lord, that your salvation is a treasure beyond compare. And Father, that though there are those around us who would try to fill their need, Father, with money or with objects or things in their life, Father, we know that there is only one true treasure, Father. And so we thank you that we have found that treasure in you. And God, help us that as we go out today, Father, that treasure, Lord, that we would seek to share that with others. That we would be today we would be that encounter. That people would see Jesus through us, God. That they'd see your Son through us as we love on others, as we as we pray for others, as we really minister to those around us, God. And so, Lord, I thank you, God. Would you continue to be with us throughout the rest of this day, Father, and that there will be no moment, Father, where we would forget you and forget who you are, and that we would remember constantly that we are your people, Father, sent out into the world. So we thank you, Lord. We bless your name, and all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and continue to have a time of meditation and prayer today as you go out throughout your days.